So I'll start off with Dan's achievements, and I'm really one of the fortunate ones because I got to spend so much time with Dan here at Berkeley. And because of Dan, I'm working on bryophytes. His work falls into some big, big categories. The first one is field collecting and research. Dan loved field work. Nothing he loved more than that. Of course, he spent a career in teaching. And a lot of folks don't realize, but Dan also was really essential in starting bryophyte conservation in the Pacific Northwest. And I'll give you some insights of that. And his publications are pretty legendary. Well, the first place that Dan spent a huge amount of time and energy and research was in Papua New Guinea. And when they were there back in 81, that was a pretty rugged, wild place to be. Just getting there is quite an ordeal. Kind of see the kind of the forest they had to explore and have access to. To kind of show you where it is, this is the peninsula right here. So that part of Papua New Guinea is where they did all their research. And this is still ongoing. So for example, I'll show you a little bit here in a slide about how many works, but I have bound the first 69 fascicles of the Papua New Guinea bryoflora. There's now 77 now published, and probably about a dozen more yet to go to finish the whole project. So when they were there in 81, Timo Koponen from Helsinki and Dan spent 5 months. Now, for those of you who have done expeditions, sometimes a month is a long time. But 5 months on an expedition in a very remote area where most of their diet, Dan tells me about what they ate. But he kept saying we had sweet potatoes, and occasionally canned tuna fish. And that's what they ate for 5 months. I can't even imagine it. So I already mentioned there's 77 of these fascicles have been published so far. It's just remarkable. 30 different bryologists have been engaged and involved in writing these treatments. And of course, as you can imagine, many species were new to science. But Dan also spent lots of time in California, and he loved this place. And he really was especially interested in rarity in bryophytes. Why do we have so many rare bryophytes in California? Most of them are restricted to some very limited microhabitat, either some soil or geology. Normally, their nearest occurrence is far, far away, in some cases on other continents. And most of our California bryophytes are just known from a handful of occurrences. And part of this is because we have so few botanists collecting bryophytes. So we're hoping, through time, we'll get a better chance of figuring out what really is super rare in California and why. And one of the reasons why we have such a fantastic bryoflora here is we have a Mediterranean climate. So below the snow line, all of our bryophytes are growing in the wintertime. All around the world, most of the bryophytes are growing in the summertime when there's precipitation. So just the whole timing of reproduction is different. And also because of our desiccation of 6 months of drought, as you move more and more toward the Southern California and toward the deserts, some of those species, like in Death Valley, may only get a few drops of water a year. And there they are, just holding in. And working with Dan was really quite an adventure. For those who've worked with Dan, his working style and mine are about 180 degrees apart or greater. You know, I want to date everything. Every time we do a revision of the manuscript or amend it or supplement it, I want it dated and so I can track all the changes through time. And a lot of times Dan had manuscripts and I wasn't sure what the vintage of them were. And so I spent a lot of time trying to compare various copies in the computer to figure out which was the last one Dan touched. So it was really quite a challenge and also an adventure in developing the California moss keys. And what I found was so fascinating about this technique, the way Dan thought this through after teaching so many courses in bryology, is he put everything that a student could misidentify, every look-alike or even pseudo-look-alike that could possibly be misidentified in the genus key. So if you got to the genus, you keyed it out in the key and you got to genus X and you went there and it say that's really the wrong genus, but the thing you really have is still in that key. Pretty unique and special. So here's some just general observations that Dan and I would talk about a lot. We thought, this is kind of amazing that 50% of all the mosses in North America are in California, or we have half of them. Over 660 species so far and counting. But the sad thing is only 4 counties out of 58 have a bryophora. We have one with a national forest now, and the Channel Islands, and a few other little spots. But there's tons of research and field work yet to do. Now we'll move on to some conservation. Now, probably a lot of you don't realize that Dan was quite a birder. And so we'd always talk about the birds. He would hear a bird call in the forest and say, oh, that's so-and-so. So he was always interested. And with the time the northern spotted owl became listed as an endangered species, Dan was pulled into this big project to identify all of the bryophytes. Others did the lichens, others did mushrooms and fungi, to determine what we think are old growth dependent species. And based on Dan's experience, they built this list, which became the Survey and Manage of the Northwest Forest Plan, which affected all National Forest and BLM and Park Service lands in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. That's where most of the timber is produced in the U.S. So it was a huge, huge activity that was going to happen here. And through this whole process of the Survey and Manage, bryophytes for the first time were required to be surveyed in all land disturbing activities, whether it be a timber sale, road building, new construction, prescribed fire, made no difference. Those bryophytes had to be tracked. In 1999, the Region 5 of the Forest Service here in California added bryophytes for the first time to the regional sensitive species list. And that basically happened when the Sierra National Forest were going through their plan revisions. And in 2001, CMPS adds bryophytes to their inventory of rare and endangered plants. So a lot of things are all happening, and we can tie all this conservation action right back to Dan's activities. The next big project that Dan and I worked on was developing a picture book, basically, to advance the awareness of California mosses to a broader native plant community. And so back in 2009, we produced California mosses, and all the images were prepared by Bill and Nancy Malcolm in New Zealand. So that was our first real popular thing to get bryophytes moving further along in California. Now we'll just kind of pick some of the things that Dan was relocating. So for example, here at Triquetrella, the type location is presumed to be, according to the label, Mount Diablo, collected by Bolander. Then no one's seen it again until Dan found it on the Mendocino coast. So that was the next collection back in the 70s. So like 100 years, Triquetrella hadn't been found. Now we have got several populations in Marin Headlands. There's about 6 populations in San Francisco, a couple in San Mateo, and all the presumed San Diego ones are extirpated. So that's one of the things that Dan was working on, was some of these really rare bryophytes. And during our SOBI-free expedition forays, almost invariably we find new things. And on the one we had down in Monterey, on Hunter Liggett, we came across these big sandstone rock outcrops. And here we discovered Polia robertsonii. And to this day, it's only found on those 2 big groups of sandstone outcrops in Monterey County. So there's also types of rarity. And Dan was very fascinated about not only things being rare, but how are they distributed? Why are they rare? So I kind of broke them into 4 kind of groups that Dan would always talk about. And the one is they're very rare in California, known from 1 or 2, maybe 3 occurrences. But then they're widespread across the Northern Hemisphere. So they just happen to sneak across the California line, can tolerate our Mediterranean climate, but the rest of them, you know, are out there in the Northern Hemisphere. Then we have another group that's really, really interesting. They're very rare in California, and they're far removed from the nearest occurrence. And some of these are actually at continental scales. So like Nardia hiroshishii is from Japan, and then it's here in California. The nearest collection of Selageria is in Colorado. The nearest collection to this is in Pakistan and Mongolia. So and that's California. Those are the three populations in the whole world. So these are some really hard distribution patterns to explain. The next one, they're rare in California, and their nearest occurrence is in the Mediterranean area. So a couple that we just found recently, like Tortula israelis, new for California. And then we just have a host of things that are only found in the California Franciscan province that goes into southern Oregon and also in the very tip of Baja California. Millicopheria elongata is kind of a species that I have a lot of fun with because when I was first starting out collecting bryophytes working with Dan, we were driving along the Kings River right above Pine Flat Reservoir. And Dan was talking about the copper mosses. And he was telling me this, says, oh, and we have to be out looking out for this Millicopheria. It's got a, you know, this really shiny blue-green foliage color to it, you know, very distinctive. And we were about 2 minutes later, I said, Dan, stop the car. And he stops the car, and he says, what's the matter? I says, Millicopheria, right over here. And sure enough, that's what it was, a new population we had found in that part of the canyon. You got a kick out of it. This is another one that Ken Kelman found new to science. And when Ken first brought this up, Dan was trying to make this go into Bryolatonia. And it just wouldn't go. You know, and Ken was persistent. He kept saying, no, it's not Bryolatonia. And eventually it got named as a new species. And the last one that Dan and I named together is Scholaria siskiyoensis. It's primarily southern Oregon in rivers and streams where it's seasonally submerged. And we have one population now discovered in California off of the Smith River. So when Dan first collected this back maybe 25 years or so ago, he thought it was distinct and unique, and he had it in the box, and he gave it an herbarium name, and there it sat for the longest time. And then I was kind of working on Scholaria for a while, and then I pulled up some of Dan's specimens. I go, Dan, we've got to work on this. We need to go get some more material, get some molecular data, and see if this thing is real. And sure enough, we went and got more material and described it as new to science. And the molecular thing on it is really, really fascinating. So here's a species that was known for a long time but just didn't get around to getting named. As I've mentioned before, Dan loved collecting and believed with all of his heart the importance of it. And since we have these species that we know are going to be discovered, we just need a lot more systematic collecting at some kind of administrative level, whether it be a county, a land base, something, elevational zone, habitat type, whatever. We just need a lot more collecting in remote parts of California. And as we keep getting more herbarium specimens in, we can get a much better handle on the distribution of species and their preferred habitats. And by doing that, we'll also be able to really fine-tune the rarity of bryophytes needing conservation concern. So Dan named a lot of stuff, and a lot of things named for Dan. So here's some of the genera he named: Bryolatonia, Orthothuidium, Stoneobryum, and Uncle Jackia. So sometimes biologists can be kind of funny with what we name things. That was his major professor, Jack Sharp, and things. So he named that Uncle Jackia. The moss genus Bryonorisia bears his name, and soon to be published, Danorisia. So this one I have not seen the galley proof yet, but I just know of it. So that'll be out hopefully in this next spring. Dan named 48 species new, where he was either the author or the co-author. 51 new name combinations, and 13 species bear his name, including three in California: Codiophorus norisii, Didymodon, and Orthotricum. And here we are, Dan, doing what he loved the most. Thank you.